Thanks. The whole idea of ornamenting and figure what are you going to play against in a certain tune. You can start with the tune and then see what fits and what works. Or there's another way to do it, and that's to start with at the other end of the other end of the stick. By that I mean, well, I took a technical approach to the banjo and started learning a tune in G, and then realized that those are the notes of the G scale. So I messed around with the G scale and same notes. So the other end of the stick, as far as I'm concerned, is getting real familiar with the notes and then shuffling them around to make different tunes. And there's the whole scale, which people call do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, or Christmas Carol too. It's a major scale. There's a lot of tunes that work in a shorter scale. In the key of G, but they don't use all the notes of the regular scale. They just use five of them. And that's why we got a fancy name for that called the pentatonic scale, which is that famous guitar run that I think the first time that was recorded was in the intro to the Mule Skinner Blues, the first time Bill Monroe recorded that tune. And there's a long guitar intro to that tune. And as far as I know, that's the first time that lick, dum, 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 was used. And you know who played it? Bill Monroe played the guitar in that recording. So we call it the Flat Run, the Lester Flat Run, but it's probably Bill Monroe that did it.
Well, you know what? I was listening to a Dixieland record from the 30s, and the saxophone went, bum, ba da ba da ba da.
Well, that is the five-tone scale. You hear it... it turns out that there are, of course, we got 12 notes to start with. And so we've got 12 kinds of any kind of scale, and there's 12 of these too. But there's four of them that really fit on the banjo. And one of them... Or... The 8th of January in C. So you get the key of F. It's a January and F. Or you can get the B flat. Like a... And that's a key of B flat with no capo. There's three ways to use that. You can play a tune in B flat. Okay, what's the relative minor of B flat?
G minor.
Yeah. So when it came time to play Kentucky Mandolin in G minor, if you retune the second string, then all your chords go off. You know, you can't remember the chords anymore. So. In G minor, and the other way, the neatest way, I think, is as blues notes in the key of G. Here's a real familiar tune in G major sound. B flat scale, and here's the same tune using the same this is the hand position here. Set of notes. So that's
depends on how many fingers you got, which one you do, right?
Now, there's a question, a couple of questions. Why don't you take this guy first?
It's probably a bit unfair, but a question. But say at the moment of improvisation, not a lead that you've worked on ahead of time, but at any moment of improvisation, would you say that you hear the notes that you're about to play in your head, or could you describe maybe what the mental process might be that's going on at the moment of the
conversation? Great question. What can you answer?
You know, it is a good question, and there's a lot of things get in the way when you're in a performing situation. And what I do is when I'm at home and working on stuff, and actually, you know, then I think long and hard about it, and take it apart and count frets and name notes and figure stuff out and know what chords are in there and different inversions for them. And that's a hunting process, and that's really where the learning thing is. Then I try to absorb that and get totally around that information. And then when I go out to play, I make a point of thinking about absolutely nothing. Nothing. If I catch myself thinking about something, I turn it off.
What's the state of mind just before you strike a note?
Wow.
How's
my hair?
Expected. No,
when you're improvising, sometimes say, I hear that, I gotta go, I wanna hit the B flat, say, that's the note I wanna, and you consciously
miss it. First, I don't think in absolutes like that. It depends on the key we're in, and I don't think about specific notes, and I don't think ahead, because if you think ahead, you'll make a mistake now. If you make a mistake, you don't think about it, because then you'll make another one. You're thinking in, so you can't think about the past or the future. And
you'd be here now.
I'm not putting you on. There's a really good book on this subject, and it addresses problems that people have when they get out in front of people to play, and why they freeze up or why they can't do as well if there's people watching, they can do in their own room. It's a great book called Effortless Mastery by a guy named Kenny Werner, and he says, don't catch yourself thinking, how do I sound? Am I in tune? I wonder if they like me. Those are all destructive processes. No, don't laugh. Those are destructive to the creative process. You really do have to learn your stuff first, get your technique ready, and then get out of the way and let this work for you.
I saw this quote in a magazine, something that Roy Clark said, and I made a point to absorb it. You know, Roy Clark is not known as the banjo genius. He's a very fine musician. But he said this great thing, which is, if I think about it, I lost it. In other words, if I think, I've lost it already. You know, same subject, you know. But one thing I'll tell you is, in so many words, just don't think ahead and behind like Bill just said, but I just try to train my mind right into what's about to happen, like, what is this? And if I say I just want to get back to home, I'll aim for the third string, which is the G, which is home, if I'm playing a G. And sometimes I say, oh, I want to hear some high notes, you know. Or it would be cool to put in a pull-off, sort of. There's a little spasm in there. And if you liken playing music to conversation, you know, everybody improvises when they're conversing. You know, you couldn't possibly describe your job in 25 words the same way two times in a row. It would not come out the same. And that's because you're so familiar with language. If you start a sentence one way, you'll finish it a different way. If you start it, you know, different ways, that you know how to finish a sentence. And it's a lot like that with music. You sort of go into certain places that sort of determine what else is going to happen, and you just follow it. And a lot of people would say, play the melody, just plain play the melody. This is obviously Barry's approach, and if you play with Jimmy Martin or an awful lot of the main band leaders of all time, they don't like it almost if you don't play the melody. And when Bill found ways to play melody on fiddle tunes, Bill Monroe loved that very much, you know, and he was kind of upset if people didn't seem to know the melody of the tune and just play licks over the melody instead of the melody. But a lot of people have gigantic bags of licks and they're just saying, which C lick haven't I played lately? And they throw it in. And I'm not saying that sounds bad, but it loses a little focus on what the job is at the time, you know. Enough said on that for me.
Can I just add something?
Yeah.
You know, Phil Keith is known as the innovator of melodic style banjo playing, and Bill Monroe recognized that in Phil Keith. And, you know, you hear people talking about the Monroe style of mandolin playing, well, there's also the Keith style of banjo playing. And so we're really fortunate to have Phil Keith.
This year is the 40th anniversary of the 40th anniversary of his tenure with Monroe. And Tony Rice and I were talking just last night, and he said, from his point of view, Bill is the father of Newgrass, because he, within a traditional context, blew open a lot of doors, and then a lot of people got to walk through those doors. And that's a pretty good concept, I think. Bill's going to have to leave soon.
One question.
Can you talk a little bit about fretted fifth string? I'm thinking specifically of something like clinging vine. How do you approach
fretting the fifth string is the question.
Well, the clinging vine is sort of an exception. It's a tune I wrote in E flat. And actually, the way it started was I took the B flat pentatonic scale. And then just raise one note of it, and it's the E flat. So,
thank you.
only one place I fret the fifth string in there. That's the high E. There are times when, real nice tune that you may have heard called Banjo Signal. Don Reno recorded it. Actually, it was written by Smiley Hobbs, real great banjo player, mandolin player, fiddle player, guitar player, and singer. And he worked with Don Reno for a while. And he plays that by fretting the fifth string. And actually, there's a pair of notes there running down. And Scruggs does the ground speed. On the same two pairs of notes on the first two strings rather than on the fifth. That's the first time I ran into fretting the fifth string. A lot of people wrap the thumb around, and a lot of melodic stuff is essential to fret the fifth string too. It's all a lot of the fifth string stuff. Easier to get the note on instead of going across to the first string, do an inside roll and catch the fifth string with the same note, the same fret. So that's fretting the fifth string.
I hate to break in, Bill, but yeah, in 4 minutes it'll be 2:00.
I'm sorry, I got
Bill is one of those guys where if he's not busy and you just walk up to him and you ask him a banjo question, he'll give you a good sized answer for that. So and he's doing the grassroots stage tomorrow. Look on your schedule. The workshop is supposedly over at this time, but I understand the next time slot is open for a while. They haven't arrived. So I'll continue this if anybody wants to continue this. And, you know, I don't know if Barry needs to stay or wants to. Yeah, he needs to go back to the bus. But if anybody wants to hear a little more banjo playing and ask a question, I will. Barry Abernathy and Baby Tuckall are right there. I'll play a tune. This is my most recently made up tune, and I'm not quite sure of the name for it, so if you have suggestions, I'd like them. I'll just wait for everybody to do their moving around so you can see and hear it better if you want.